You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday. That means it is time for a Set Apart to Serve conversation. Today, we get an update. Mm-hmm. We get to talk with our leaders for the Set Apart to Serve stories, the guys who provide us some great insights as they're out in the field gathering all these stories and sharing them with us. We're going to get some insights from them today. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. James Bonnick, Executive Director for Set Apart to Serve, and also a bunch of other titles as well. Dr. Bonnick, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And occasionally guest co-host too.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Also joining us today, Glenn Rollins, Manager of Set Apart to Serve. Glenn, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Good to be here too. Good to see you.
We have had a blast sharing these Set Apart to Serve stories, and I know we have more to share in the weeks, months, maybe years ahead.
So many stories.
We have so many stories to share.
Until the Lord returns.
But you guys are traveling all over, out in the field, get to gather these stories and then bring them back to help us share these stories on the Coffee Hour. So you guys really know like all the good details and have stories to share with us and feedback. So how about an overview of what's been happening, what you want people to know about Set Apart to Serve? Jim, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, when we first started Set Apart to Serve, we didn't really know what to call it. Is it an initiative? Is it a focus? And we are moving from the word initiative to just culture. It's not a short term. It is until the Lord returns. This is something that the church, the synod, should do from one generation to the next. And so building this culture, we have many components in Set Apart to Serve. And they all overlap, kind of like that famous Venn diagram, right? You know, we have research that's constantly going on. It's teaching us where are the troubled spots, where are the good spots. We have a youth focus is where it's first started from conception until 12th grade. You know, what's the journey of that age group? How do we talk to that age group? Who are the main influencers of that age group? Then we have second career focus going on at the same time. They do indeed overlap. We can talk about that a little bit more of some of the mapping that we're doing with second career pastoral students and Lutheran school teachers. At the same time, we have all nations. That is, the church is made up of many peoples, many cultures, many languages, and we're putting those all together, not separating them out as one, but we're all in this together as Revelation 5 would say that we gather around the throne as all nations. We have an international focus. You know, the Synod is in partnership with over, 42, 45 church bodies around the world. They're starting to come to us and say, hey, come on over and tell us what you're doing because we have the same issues of needing church workers. And there's this wonderful thing called funding of how do we continue to fund this? And our donors are responding really well. But I guess my message is, this is not short term. It's not an initiative. It is just something that we are, something that we do as a church. We form and recruit church workers until the Lord returns. And it all kind of blends all together.
Yeah, we've seen that over the, months that we've been sharing all of the Set Apart to Serve stories. And it's been really incredible to hear all of the different stories that we've been able to share. What are some of the things that have been happening in LCMS districts in the last 6 months to a year? Glenn, what do you got for district working groups? What's been going on?
Well, district working groups, that's one section. Just to say, though, Pastor and I both get to go in and visit in the districts, and it is just really humbling and gratifying to see what is happening out there in order to kind of facilitate a little bit more that could happen. We started looking specifically at how do we help districts? Because we know that the people within each district, they understand those ins and outs of that district best. So it was our thought that if each district was able to establish a district working group or committee, task force, whatever they want to call it, on church worker recruitment, because they know that context of their district, they're going to be able to respond to those church recruitment variables more directly for their people. So we saw that then we could become, and we're working on that, become a resource, a sounding board, a touch point for ideas so that each district could grow their programs within their own context, as I said. So we've been working with some specific districts in kind of a pilot program setting to see what are some things that they need, what we can supply. You know, our job is to assist their congregations, their schools to form, recruit, encourage youth. Pastors talked about that from conception through grade 12, and then also adults in the second career. So what are some things out there that we can help them so that it is right in their area there? We've put together some materials that we're sharing with them about, you know, what are some good teams that would be part of a district working group? What are some meeting topics? There'd be a review of our resources, and there are plenty of resources to share. But there's a lot of good things that are happening with that. And in one particular district that I'm just really excited about, they have grabbed hold of it, and they're just going crazy with what they can do. And that's what we want to see happen, is that if the districts own it, and even further down to congregations and circuits, as you're going to hear, then it's going to keep that culture changing and not just some program from somewhere that maybe they don't want to hear about. It's theirs. So that's one of the neat things that's going on with districts is good stuff. How can we help them?
Yeah, and we also have circuit visitors pilot groups. So what Glenn had just talked about and some of the other things we're talking about, they're pilots, right? And so what we're doing is we're building resources that we've heard mostly from our surveys. Hey, we need this, or this is a roadblock. And so we're taking a small segment of Synod and testing those resources. They're using them. They're telling us what's good and what's not working about these resources. So, and Glenn said it really well, is that this is not a program or an initiative that comes from the International Center of the Missouri Synod, and we're going to, you know, say this is what you should do. This is being built out in the field by every circuit district. And when this can become a part of their DNA, then that's just what we'll be doing from generation to the next. So the circuit visitors, we have circuit visitors from English District, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Minnesota North, Ohio, Pacific Southwest. And we meet with them, I don't know, every quarter or so. And we have given them some resources of how do you talk to the church workers, the pastors, and the teachers about how they would then talk to youth and adults about considering church work, especially the circuit visitors on the Winkle, which is like a monthly pastor's meeting in every circuit. And so that he can then share what's going on with Set Apart to Serve, church worker recruitment, what are they doing, the sharing of stories and such. After we put our resources together with their help, then we will finish up that product and send it out to all the circuit visitors as well. Districts like to be mentioned, and they should be, because they're really a big part of this. When Glenn was talking about the district working group, we have Mid-South, Missouri, Nebraska, Montana, Minnesota South, and Northern Illinois District. So it's just a whole spectrum from coast to coast, north to south districts who are helping us and being a part of this in one way or another.
Wow. We had some great stories to share about second career folks who have looked at seeing the need for faithful Lutheran teachers who maybe have a Lutheran background. We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Do you have an update for us on that, Glenn?
I kind of focused a little bit more on some second career materials that are happening with second career for teachers.
Yeah.
And they're what we've seen, and we had a rollout of some work with what we've done before for second career for pastors, but now we're putting together a teacher ad campaign. It's a digital ad campaign we're going to run on Facebook, and it's designed to target educators who are currently teaching in public schools and they belong to an LCMS congregation, or they're desiring to switch to teaching in a Lutheran Christian school because they see that as something that fits with where they're at in their life at this time. So we're going to be using targeted ads and messaging to showcase the benefits and values of teaching at an LCMS school. Like I said, there was a similar campaign that ran last year targeting potential pastors, and we got some positive response. And so now we're working with two districts. And once again, to go with what Pastor said, this is Minnesota South and South Wisconsin, to put together what these ad campaigns are, to reach out in areas where there are, you know, tremendous need for teachers with the number of Lutheran schools that are there, to work with them and maybe amplify that message through these kinds of digital ads there. So that's an area where we're looking at how do we push ourselves out a little bit differently for some teachers who are maybe ready to make a move to our LCMS schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sean Martin shared some great stories of that with us in a recent episode.
Right.
Set Apart.
You know, kind of making the sausage on those. It's not like we just write an ad and send it out, right?
Right.
Those ads have been tested. We're trying to figure out what's the messaging that really resonates with somebody who's maybe teaching the public school that's a Lutheran that says, hey, I think I could like to teach in a Lutheran school as I'm nearing maybe toward the end of my teaching career, or these have the value. Lutheran school has the values that I really want to teach in. So, and then they're tested in internally, right? Mm-hmm. And then finally we send those ads out. So a lot of work has gone into those. Something else we're doing is youth pilot re-engagement. All the resources that we have on our website now, which I'm sure our audience has read, marked, and inwardly digested by now. And if you haven't, then you should. But all those resources came from the initial pilot project. All 35 districts, we had pastors, church workers, laity, teachers, DCEs, deaconesses involved in that. Some of those initial people we used in other areas as we move forward. But we brought together maybe about a half a dozen of the originals, and we have a youth pilot re-engagement. And there's two resources that we're really working on with them, and that's engaging laity in our congregation, because that's kind of the lagging audience. And that makes sense, because it's kind of hard to directly communicate to the laity. And once they hear it, they're all excited and interested in church workers, right? The other one is helping parents prepare youth for church work vocations. So our youth pilot people have reviewed those. They came back and said, yeah, this is good. That's not good. The initial thing was it was like a 5-page document, and they said that'll never work. And so we broke it into segments. So there's like a simple 1-pager, and then there's, if you want more information, here it is. But anyway, individuals like Pastor Potschmidt, he has just been great in helping us do these materials, and he's testing them in his own congregation, right? And then Daniel Burhup as a pastor as well, and he's testing these materials. And the funny thing is, when these individuals are testing our materials, they're going above and beyond. They're writing some of their own things, or they're contacting their parents and say, hey, y'all come to this meeting. I'm going to talk to you about your child being in church work. And then they tell us what they've done with those meetings, whether it be refreshments or the resources that they're using. So North and Central Illinois District have come together in like a teacher's conference, and there's presentations going on with, how do you pronounce her name? Robbie Flock, is that?
Yes.
Is educator there, and she's on our pilot re-engagement. So all these individuals, just tons of knowledge in their expert bank that are helping us.
I want to pause there. I know we have more updates to share that we've learned over the last 6 months to a year. We're going to continue that conversation in just a moment as we're learning more about Set Apart to Serve today on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Ogleseth.
We are chatting with the Reverend Dr. James Bonick, Executive Director of Set Apart to Serve, and Glenn Rollins, Manager for Set Apart to Serve, getting an update on what's been happening in Set Apart to Serve and this culture change with Set Apart to Serve over the last 6 months to a year. Glenn, what about working with communicating with education executives in districts? How's that going?
Well, we've opened up a new channel of communication with them. District education execs, they have kind of a unique connection within our Synod in most all the districts. I mean, if you think about it, there's just like over 30 of these individuals, and their connection with that they have with teachers, with DCEs and other professional church workers within their area of responsibility is pretty awesome. So we've designed a direct specific quarterly newsletter for these individuals in the districts. They can, you know, once again, ingest and digest those information, but hopefully they're sharing it across their area of responsibility. And it has a few specific things that we think are important for them to kind of go over as they look at how they interact with those individuals within their district. And we start off with scripture passage and prayer, of course, but then we also look at our Set Apart to Serve curriculum. What are some enrichments? What are some things that some of the people out in the field are now using with what we provided through that curriculum to enhance and add to what they've already started to do there? We include a statistic spotlight with what's going on so that they can maybe know some of those, that data that's happening. We also then have a resource spotlight. What's the, you know, a page from, in this case, maybe our FAQ page, or maybe cues on how to talk to young people about vocation, where we try to just emphasize and maybe highlight a little bit about that each quarter. We just started this, and it'll be something that is ongoing to give them that resource spotlight. And then we've added a feature that maybe you know about a little bit there, the Church Worker Spotlight, and that features interviews from, guess what, KFUO Coffee Hour, Set Apart to Serve Fridays. So that helps them because there are, you know, if I was in a classroom and maybe I could have a chance to share what's going on with church worker recruitment, you go to those archives, you take a look at maybe somebody who fits something you're talking about. And so we put that in front of those district education execs so that they can be thinking, hey, here's another resource. And you guys are doing a great job on that. So let's partner together. So that's the kind of the basis of that. And again, the idea is that those individuals, you know, have a great reach within their districts. How do we help them? And then how do we also kind of motivate them about what's going on with Set Apart to Serve in an ongoing basis?
On the second career side of things, we've done some pretty exciting things here in the last couple months. When we did our youth resources, we did journey mapping. What's the journey of a youth, you know, from conception through 12th grade? What are the primary times in his or her life, especially when we may form the faith and talk about church work? If I were a pastor in the congregation today, the journey maps that are on our website, I'd say, boy, those are really valuable. Not even just talking about church work, but just faith formation. We're doing the same thing now with second career individuals. By the way, both seminaries are phenomenal collaborators and not partners, and just 100% partners with us. And Jesse Keeker and Matt Wheatfield from both seminaries are phenomenal to work with. And they helped us put together journey mapping sessions for second career pastoral students. And we got about 12 or so pastoral students and their wives. We went to the seminary along with the marketing communications firm that we're working with, Standing Partnership. Actually, they led it. And we journeyed with them for like 90 minutes with just the men, first of all. And that journey was, we had a number of questions for the awareness stage. When did you become aware that you could become a pastor in a second career? And then secondly, and I don't have them all right in order, but it was like, when did you start making the decision and what went on in that decision making? How about enrollment? How did enrollment go? Now that you're here at the seminary, how'd that go? And then we had a number of questions under each of those headings, like what were the hurdles? Who'd you most talk to? Who most influenced you? What were the primary decisions that were being made? We're accumulating those answers right now, but we did that at St. Louis and then in Fort Wayne in October. Then we fed their families, and seminary families have lots of children. So we fed them all pizza, and then we sent the husbands and the children home, and we kept the wives. for another 90 minutes, did the same exact thing. The wives in both cases told us no one's ever asked us these questions before. And that we're also told never have we as husband and wife really sat down and thought through it this way before. And that's not saying anyone did it wrong or bad. It's, we're always learning. How can we do it better? And both seminaries were there. Jesse and Matt were right there in the sessions listening in of what could they learn as a seminary. What we will do then is we will put resources together for congregations, pastors who are now seeing men, elders, male leaders in their congregations and approaching them and saying, hey, I think you would make a great pastor as a second career. And here's some great resources that will help guide you through that process. And so that's what we're working on right now. And we're continuing relationships with those individuals. There are especially a couple wives that came up to us, just wonderful women who said, this is so great because even as wives, we don't really even see each other because they live off campus. You know, this is like one of the first times they all came together. And it said, this gave us a lot of ideas of how we can continue our relationship with one another, but we'd love to have a relationship with Set Apart to Serve so that we can help other wives down the road. So we're really excited about that. We're kind of compiling all that information now. So nothing is out there yet, but we're working on that.
Glenn, what kind of feedback have you heard from congregations out in the field about Set Apart to Serve?
Well, it's kind of humbling and very gratifying to hear what's happening. Pastor mentioned St. Paul in Concordia with Pastor Potschmidt, those folks in Western Missouri, they've put together a whole action plan. They're building awareness. They want to show appreciation, provide access to church workers to talk about what goes on in that world, identify and affirm the potential workers of the future. They've assembled a cohort, or we're working on assembling a cohort of students who are considering church work vocations so that they can kind of be lifted up together and know that there are others that are in that same category of working towards that. And they're just working on the opportunities in a way that mean that the whole of the congregation and the school are working together in that. That's from there. I was at the South Wisconsin District Teachers Conference last week, and there was a principal at a congregation in Central Wisconsin, and they're planning on some similar actions. They're determining that they're going to be able to make a difference within their congregation for themselves, but also, of course, for the district, for the synod, and for the church. So those are some neat things. Schools where teachers are coming together to establish scholarship funds for students going into church work above and beyond what a congregation already does. Probably one of the most interesting things, not one of the most interesting, but it was just really exciting to hear, is a professional church worker last week shared with me that initially they kind of wondered if Set Apart to Serve was going to be something that was like a one and done. You know, it's a couple year program again. We talked about that from Synod, but they are so thankful to see that we are now growing this culture of church work recruitment. You know, it's taken us a while to get to this point where we need to get back to a culture like that. So it's going to take a little bit to get behind this challenge, but she was just excited to see that it wasn't something that would be done after a couple of years, and then we would wait till the next millennium to keep going on. I don't know what, but that was just really made me think a lot about the differences that we're, Pastor and I and our whole team, are able to be part of. And it's just something to be really thankful for.
All right, we're running short on time. I know we have a lot that we want to cover, and we'll have an update again in a month or two, looking forward to 2025. An update from our institutions where church worker formation is happening. Glenn, just a brief update from our Concordia universities and what church worker formation and student enrollment is looking like.
We haven't heard from all of them, but from a few of them, like Concordia St. Paul, they have the most number of church work students on campus since 2014. Concordia Irvine has not been above the number 30 for students coming in who are new to the church work world. They've done that this year. And then Concordia Seward increased their new incoming church work students from 77 to 95. I think there's something about the number 95 for Lutherans, but they have 95 new incoming students this fall. And so the reports we're getting, that the tendency is that we're seeing that this cultural shift in making that difference. And that, again, is pretty exciting that it's going to be gradual, but it's going to happen. Thanks to the
seminaries.
Lord.
The seminaries are doing very well. St. Louis Seminary is up considerably. I don't have the exact number in front of me, 50s something. Fort Wayne is up a little bit as well. And all, Set Apart to Serve is just getting started. So if we're talking about youth, there's always a danger in saying what the numbers are right now, because this is a culture shift, or getting that message, right? And so it was slow and steady, but I think as those youth in our congregations now are being talked to, we're going to see increases in the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years. And that's not too late. I mean, we'll be fine with that. And the seminaries are doing a phenomenal job along with the Concordias in their recruitment efforts.
And I know that we'll have plenty of stories to share in 2025.
We will.
As we look forward to the future. Anything else you want to share with us today as we're looking ahead or maybe reflecting back on this past year of Set Apart to Serve?
Well, the final thought today and closing out the year, at least last time I'll probably talk to you this year, is no one is exempt from forming and recruiting church workers. This is not, you know, the synod doing it. Every pastor, every teacher, every DCE, every church musician, every lay person, every chair president, every LWML lady, everyone is involved. And if you don't have children in your congregation, look beyond your congregation. Grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, look at your relatives and family and friends and say, I think you'd be a great pastor. Let me guide you along. Everyone is involved.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. James Bonnick, Executive Director of Set Apart to Serve. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Great to be here.
And Glenn Rollins, Manager for Set Apart to Serve. Glenn, thanks for joining us today.
It's a blessing. Thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.